I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back with you on The Fan, and we're joined by Anne Liguori, who, of course, is doing our U.S. Open reports, back-to-back U.S. Opens with tennis and golf. That is... I don't know that that's ever happened, has it, Ann? Usually the U.S. Open in golf is June and tennis is the end of August, early September. So this is a stretch for you, huh?
A lot is converging in September. Not only tennis and golf, but all sports. It's just been crazy. But it's really great that it's all happening and, you know, really grateful that the U.S. Open is a reality this year, given the pandemic and all the uncertainty. So it's great that they decided to go through with it. You know, obviously no spectators, which is very strange, but at least we have a U.S. Open.
Yeah, and it promises to be a pretty good one, although, you know, Tiger and Phil, Tiger was 10 over, I'm sorry. Phil was 13. Jordan Spieth was 14 over par. And you had even Colin Morikawa, who won the PGA, 7 over and not making the cut. So you had some pretty big names who aren't going to be there over the weekend.
Yeah, huge names who go home. You know, I figured Tiger, I actually made the prediction that he would not make the cut. I wanted him to make the cut, but, you know, he's only been playing, he played, what, 6 tournaments coming into this U.S. Open, and he just, you can't be ready for Wingfoot, which is just such a brutal test. I don't care who you are. Obviously, nobody ever wants to say Tiger's not going to make the cut because you just never know what you're going to get, but he just wasn't there, you know, plus 10... overall, not good. And then Phil, plus 13. But, you know, afterwards, he did put on a good face. He said, it was fun for me to have to play and compete here one more time. But Phil just was out of sorts the entire time. And then Jordan Spieth, my goodness, just he even admitted that he's lost, which I feel so bad for him. But you can't be lost when you're playing a course as tough as Wingfoot. So it's too bad we've lost a couple big, big names, great, great talent, but we'll have a great tournament, you know, needless to say, this weekend with all the guys who were able to make the cut, for sure.
Yeah, and the interesting story is you got two guys at the top who aren't necessarily popular with the other tour members, and DeChambeau, it's interesting because he goes against conventional wisdom. Usually you cannot try to overpower a U.S. Open course. The rough is too deep, the fairways are too narrow, the greens are too severe, and yet that's kind of been his strategy, and so far it's worked for him.
Exactly. Just swing as hard as you can. And to do that at Wingfoot and to score well is tough because, you know, you really have to get that ball on the fairway. And boy, that eagle he had on the par 5 ninth, that drive was 380 yards. And then he hits a pitching wedge to within 6 feet. That pitching wedge, 179 yards. So he has defied convention for sure. He's right in there because of his distance. Now the accuracy is key. And after Thursday, he went back out to the practice range and spent a lot of time out there because it was getting cooler and he wanted to see how, you know, his ball would respond in the cooler conditions. So the guy puts, he's a workhorse. He puts in the time and you got to hand it to him because he's so unconventional, such a science, scientist out there, but it's working for him so far.
I had a caller earlier asking if he thought that the scores would hold up and three over par, four over par might win. And it's really up to the USGA and the weather conditions, isn't it? They can make this course as hard or as playable as they want. My thinking is the way they usually do it is they try to make the winner right around even par, so it might get a little tougher even.
Oh, definitely. It will definitely get tougher this weekend. What we saw Thursday in round one was very unusual. And, you know, what a difference a day makes. I mean, 21 players were under par on Thursday. Only three players were under par yesterday. And the 2.69 increase in the scoring average from Thursday to Friday is the biggest, highest margin in U.S. Open history. So yesterday we had the northeast wind blowing about 20 miles an hour. The hole locations were in tougher positions and the greens firmed up. And we're going to see more of that this weekend. You know, it's mild up there temperature-wise, chillier. And so, you know, the greens are going to be faster and they're going to keep making it as tough as can be. I mean, look at the scores that won it years ago, you know, Jeff Ogilvy, +5, 2006. Hill Irwin, +7, back in 1974. They want this course to continue to have the reputation of being one of the toughest U.S. Open venues ever.
Yeah, and it certainly is that. You've got a couple of guys like Justin Thomas was 5 under first round. Now he's only 2 under, still in contention, obviously. But you look at DJ Dustin Johnson, and he's +3. That's still in contention if he can shoot a pretty good round today. A 67 or so put him right there. Rahm at +1 and Rory at +3. So you do have some big names within striking distance.
Oh, definitely. Anything can happen. I actually picked DJ before the championship started to win. Obviously, he was one of the favorites. But, you know, with his length and normally his accuracy off the tee, and he was putting so well coming into this championship. But, yeah, +3. He shot even par yesterday, which was a very, very solid score. So anybody in, you know, that +3 range, any of these guys still have a big chance to win this weekend. Obviously, they put up a really good number today and tomorrow. But then you have, you know, Justin Thomas. Boy, he only hit 3 fairways yesterday after that record-breaking 5-under-65 on Thursday, Richard. So he needs to get his tee shots more accurate. Patrick Reed, he only hit 5 of 14 fairways and 9 of 18 greens in regulation. But the difference is that Patrick Reed scrambled all day. His short game is unbelievable. I love watching him, you know, get out of bunkers and out of the high rough and just watching him scramble and hit these balls so beautifully in difficult locations. That's what you need on this golf course. You just have to know how to get out of tough situations. And if you know, Patrick Reed loves that challenge. He has so much fire and so much, you know, he's so competitive. So I see Patrick Reed kind of riding this whole challenging aspect of Wingfoot all weekend long. His short game is just phenomenal.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of in Tin Cup where Don Johnson is playing the old grizzled pro. And they say, you know, Kevin Costner say, come on, you know, you're 18 pars. You know, that's not exciting golf. And he goes, I'll take it any day of the week in this tournament. And that's, oh, yeah, that's pretty much what these guys are going to be resigned to. And, you know, the hitting the fairways you're talking about, I think DeChambeau had 50% yesterday, whereas the average was something around 37 something percent, yeah, hitting fairways for these guys.
Fairways is just so narrow. I mean, walking around the golf course, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday, I just couldn't believe how narrow some of the landing areas, you know, are on at Wingfoot. And then the rough is just crazy. So you got to just do everything you can, you know, off the tee to be accurate. And it's so hard. It is such a hard golf course. And it's just really exciting to see, you know, the top players in the world try to tackle it, really. They can't conquer it. The golf course will normally win. But they're going to give it their best shot this weekend. I want to give a shout-out to the only amateur out of 13 amateurs to make the cut, Richard. His name is John Paak, and he's from Scotch Plains, New Jersey. And I had the opportunity to talk to him early in the week. Very impressive young man. He's a junior at Florida State. And he really was making, you know, the best out of his experience here. He went up and introduced himself to all these different players. He introduced himself to Tiger, and he asked Tiger for advice, and Tiger told him to be patient out there. And I asked him what his goals were for the week. He said, one, I want to make the cut, which he did. He said, two, I want to beat Tiger, which he did. And what was his third one? Anyway, I'm just really impressed with this young man. So he made the cut. He shot a plus six yesterday. He shot a one under on Thursday. So what an experience for this guy to be able to play the weekend at Wingfoot.
So I'll pin you down here. It's kind of ridiculous to make predictions on golf because there's so many great players. But you still like Dustin Johnson to win this thing?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm actually watching Patrick Reed and just how he was able to scramble, and his short game is so sharp right now. I'm going to go with Patrick Reed. I'm going to go with Reed, and I know how competitive he is. I think he's going to be able to maintain. Obviously, DeChambeau is going to be right behind him, but I'll go with Patrick Reed. That might be an easy pick since he's leading by one right now, but I'm very impressed with the short game.
And for those who aren't golf fans, tell us why he's not, that popular on tour.
Well, he had an interesting incident at a tournament where he, a lot of people thought he cheated. Way back when in college, he had a bad reputation. He's just had a number of instances throughout the years that have been unsavory. And, you know, he's a local Augusta guy. And when he won the Masters in 2018, he wouldn't even allow his parents to go. They've been feuding for a long time. And apparently his wife and his parents don't get along. And so he's had this, you know, long list of things that have been going on that have raised eyebrows. So having said that, a lot of the guys obviously like him because he's such a competitive player and such a winner. He's, you know, Captain America on the Ryder Cup team, President's Cup team. I mean, he's known to be such a good player in these team competitions. And so the guys really support him. But, he's not one of the most popular players overall, but Tiger seems to like him a lot, so that's
interesting. Yeah, well, that's for sure. And thank you. We'll talk to you again real soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.